The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself grew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there these days? And replied to him, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. Our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astonished us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of these went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets spoke. Was it not that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave them the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And that their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sights. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them, who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way, and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. Upon reflecting on the readings in the Gospel for this week, the verse that stood out was the one from Peter. "This man Jesus was delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God." What we heard in the first reading. The foreknowledge of God tells us that God put into action our redemption immediately after the fall of Adam and Eve. This plan is, of course, God's plan of salvation for all of us here today, and speaks to the fact that although we live contrary to God's desires most of the time, he still loves us. How has God the Father shown his love for us through the life, death, resurrection of his only begotten Son is a question that many of us probably have pondered. God allowed his only begotten Son to be sacrificed for our sins, and more importantly, for our salvation. For it is through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ that we celebrate this Easter season, that we are redeemed, that our path back to our heavenly home has been secured for us, that death no longer holds on to us. For as David said in the first reading, David, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. It is our song that is placed in our heart and soul each time we come to the table of the Lord and receive him in Eucharist. So the question is, what is the sacrament of Eucharist that seems to be a part of life for humans since the fall of Adam and Eve? What do the words mean? This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to the supper, to which we respond every week, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. The Bible tells us the answer to this question. What is this sacrament of Eucharist? And it's in John 6:47. Chapter 6 of John is probably, if not the most important chapter in the New Testament. It's clearly one of them. But in that chapter, we hear the answer. And the answer Jesus gave was, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Then seven verses after this, John 6:54, Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is good food. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I have life. And because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. We honor that at every Mass with the great Amen. The great Amen is, through him, with him, and in him. Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. More or less, Jesus, through him, with him, and in him. Through him, through his death on the cross, with him, and in him. We take the Eucharist into ourselves. We become one with Jesus. Not spiritually, not in some mystical way. Physically. Physically. So, as you can see, each time we eat the bread of life, Jesus enters us and we become one with him. Now and forevermore. More or less, at the table, God is offering God to God. Holy Spirit is offering Jesus to his Father. And Jesus is holding us up, the children of God, which we are. He's holding as acceptable sacrifices to the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are being held up to the Father and blessed. This is all that is amazing. It just blows my mind to think that all that is going on during the Eucharistic celebration. We have the liturgy of the Word, where we learn, you hear the Word of God, we're instructed in the Word of God, and then we have the liturgy of the Eucharist, where we receive something that is beyond words. Try to explain it to somebody sometime. And it's not easy. I try all the time at the prison, or just falls short. But nonetheless, each time we eat the bread of life, Jesus enters us and we become one with him now and forevermore. Through the Eucharist, death has no hold on us, because Jesus is within us. Although Christ is always with us, as he is presented in the Eucharist, is a more special way. It is. In fact, there's a special word for this special way. I'll probably butcher it. Maybe you can help me with this. Father, I think you know what I'm going to try to say. It's epiosios. The bread, we say, give us this day our daily bread, right? We're thinking, give us food, bread, to eat, to survive. That's not what it's saying at all. In the Our Father, we're asking for the special bread. The bread that Jesus came down and said, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. This is the bread from heaven. For our ancestors had the bread from heaven, manna, but they died. We had the bread from heaven that we will live. And so there's this, probably could go on for hours. And as you know, I was a teacher for many years, so I could talk for 15 minutes at the drop of a hat, but I won't. I promise. This all might seem kind of strange. Try to explain to somebody that which is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And they look at you and say, well, it's just a piece of bread, a flat one at that, not very much. You're not going to get full on that. But they'll look, and it comes up as a host, this little round piece of bread. And then it's consecrated. But it doesn't change. It looks like it did in coming up. It probably tastes like it would. Nothing has changed. How do we know that it's the body and blood of Christ? And the wine is the same way. It tastes the same. It looks the same. It has the same aroma that wine does. What changed? There's nothing changed. But yet, we are told it's the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people question that. But you gotta, when you're thinking about things divine, you gotta remember there are things of this earth and there are things of heaven. There are earthly things and there are divine things. And so that as Father transforms the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ, it changes its origin. The origin of the bread and the wine change. They come from being earthly things. Things prepared by the hands of us. They're earthly. And after the Holy Spirit descends upon them and transforms them into the body and blood, they become divine. Their origin is now divine. And so it changes from earthly to divine. A lot of people still look at you and go, yeah, right. But ask yourself, and we all know that, when you were baptized or when you baptized your baby or whatever, so you either dipped them or you poured water on their little head or dunked the body, and they came out changed, right? They're wet. They went in dry and now they're wet. Is that all that happens? I mean, you can baptize yourself standing out there in the driveway, just hose yourself down. It's not baptism. But what has happened? It's your baptism, or the baptism of a child. The child is the same. The child doesn't come out of the baptism and start talking in tongues. Or are we baptized as an adult? They don't start prophesizing. They're the same. So what happened? What happened is they became from an earthly person to what? A child of God. Before they were not. They were just an earthly creature. Now they are a child of God. That is what changed. That is the sacrament. That is what we receive grace. And if that doesn't work, you can always use the expression I commonly use. And when they say, well, what, da, 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 da. Well, what did Jesus say? Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you shall have no part of me. Well, Jesus said that. Do we believe Jesus? Well, if you don't, you might as well just throw that Bible right away. It's in the Bible. That Bible is without error. And Jesus said, you must eat my body and drink my blood, or you'll have no part of the kingdom of God. God bless.